And this is the Monday Mindset Podcast,
where we share things of interest to us and hopefully to you.
So let's get started with episode number 69. And this week it's Terry's turn to share something that she's found interesting. What have you got for us today, Terry?
First, Daisy, I just want to take note that we are being serenaded by seagulls on your end. Oh, so if anyone hears those sounds, that's what it is. The first time I heard it, I thought one of your dogs was whimpering or something, but it's just the seagulls, which is a cool thing.
They're very loud. It's very seasidey.
That's right.
Most of the time I like it, except when they start screeching at sort of 3 o'clock in the morning, which they do quite often.
So today, what I wanted to share is an episode from a podcast called The Genius Life with Max Lugavere. I started following him several years ago. I haven't listened to many of his podcast episodes, but I really like him. He writes a lot about brain health, and this is kind of through his own journey with his mom struggling with Alzheimer's and eventually dying. He's also very attractive, so he's been fun to follow over the past few years. But anyway, this is actually an older episode of his. I was just scrolling through, and it is called How to Boost Serotonin for Better Mood, Deeper Sleep, and Fewer Sugar Cravings. Hmm. So I thought, based on who I think our listener base is, this covers just about every need that might be out there. Both you and I, obviously, we met through a certain approach to eating. You do another podcast, the Keto Woman podcast. And so sugar cravings, I work in a business where people are often eating a lower carb way of eating and doing fasting. And so I think this topic would be a good one for a lot of people. Before I share any of this information, though, I do want to make really clear, I am not a medical doctor, so I am in no way giving any medical advice. Anytime I give suggestions about supplements or anything, what I really try to do is just recommend people do some research on this topic so they can make their own decision. Because, like I said, I can't diagnose or prescribe or even recommend. So this episode is about serotonin, and I think a lot of us know a little bit about serotonin, and we know that it drives a lot of, for a lot of us, sugar cravings, eating cravings, and probably a lot of us know serotonin referenced most often because in many antidepressants that people take, they are called SSRIs, which is selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors. So serotonin is a neurotransmitter, and that means a chemical that activates brain cells. It then influences certain behaviors, feelings, and mood states. This is why it's so important. Most people in North America, and I'd be willing to say many people in Europe, Australia, lots of places around the globe nowadays, low serotonin levels are more and more a problem because of stress and dietary factors. So low levels of serotonin are linked to depression, anxiety, poor sleep quality, carbohydrate cravings, and obesity. So serotonin is a really important neurotransmitter that probably plays a role for all of us in a way that we might like to see improved. The man who Max Lugavere interviewed in this episode, his name is Michael Murray, and he is a naturopath. And I like following naturopaths and functional medicine people because their approach to medicine is more about the root cause versus treating the symptoms. Mm-hmm. And I think you and I have talked about this in many ways, but to me, there's no sense putting a Band-Aid on something when there's an actual infection going on underneath or, you know, a root problem that needs to be addressed. So I like his approach. And naturopaths, when it comes to treating ailments and ways that people's bodies are struggling, the real approach, in my own way of saying it, is to figure out what are the deficiencies or the excesses that are leading to the problem. So usually nutritional or supplement kinds of things that if you can figure out what the symptoms are telling you the body is lacking or the body has too much of, then we can do something to balance those things out. And he uses this example, and I always use this example when I describe it to people. You know, we do not have a Prozac deficiency. If we have a headache, we do not have a Tylenol deficiency. Those things are treating something else by just managing the symptoms. So again, my emphasis has been for many years now, let's get to the root cause. So this is why I was drawn to this episode.
It's a bit like that quote, I think it was in last week's episode, where they were talking about, in general, Eastern medicine versus Western medicine. And the Eastern was much more about treating you for health, mm-hmm. and the Western was much more about stopping you getting sick. I think that was mm-hmm. the difference. It was sort of the same thing with a lot of overlap, but just coming at it from a different approach, much more mm-hmm. about treating the symptoms, isn't it, in general?
Absolutely.
Western medicine and typical medicine, whereas naturopaths come at it much more from the other way, don't they?
Mm-hmm. And serotonin, as I mentioned already, has so much influence on how our body is working. It also helps, it interacts with the circadian rhythm, which is so important, again, to metabolism, to sleep, all of these things.
Is it true that a lot of it's produced in the gut, isn't it? It's not.
That was my next thing.
Uh-huh.
So, again, one of the reasons why some approaches to these symptoms is problematic is it's treating it as an issue just in the brain. Like, if we can get the brain to stop avoiding all of the serotonin that's floating around, then we'll stop being depressed. But the reality is, most often we don't have enough serotonin if we're experiencing these symptoms. And that's because the serotonin is actually created mostly in our gut. And based on stress and dietary factors, our serotonin production is often compromised. And so our brain isn't even getting enough serotonin being sent to it to do with it what it needs to do. And again, this is why just treating it with these medications can be less effective, let's say.
Mm.
So what this episode was about, as you can tell from the title, it's a natural way to do this. And the guest on this episode, Michael Murray, has written a book called 5-HTP, The Natural Way to Overcome Depression, Obesity, and Insomnia. And 5-HTP is a direct precursor to manufacturing serotonin. So if we don't have enough of this, we're not going to be producing enough serotonin. And 5-HTP stands for 5-hydroxytryptophan something. I was an English major, so everyone has to excuse the science talk from me. But basically, it's a form of tryptophan, the amino acid tryptophan. And many of us are most familiar with tryptophan because it's in turkey. And we always hear about after you eat a big turkey meal here in the US, after Thanksgiving, you want a nap. And this is, yeah, the tryptophan actually does create sleepiness. So interestingly, you need the tryptophan to be able to make serotonin. So if we're looking for a natural way to help, people might think, okay, well then I'll just eat more foods with more tryptophan. Now there are certain foods you can eat to help. So I just mentioned turkey, chicken, eggs, nuts and seeds, some foods that you and I don't eat necessarily, pineapple, potatoes, milk
and some grains as well, I think, isn't it?
It may be soy and tofu, which I don't eat either. So these foods do have tryptophan in them. But here's the little bit of a tricky thing. Tryptophan doesn't cross the blood-brain barrier. So eating a lot of those foods, you're going to increase it a little bit because there's just going to be a little more availability. But it's not going to be the big enough boost, most likely, because, again, that tryptophan can't get to the brain where it's needed. So the 5-HTP can cross the blood-brain barrier.
Ah, right. That's the transport system, as it were.
It is. Here's the other thing. And again, the science gets a little murky here for me, so I'm just going to describe it in the way I best understood it from what he described. So both you and I eat a lower carbohydrate diet, and I certainly do that to reduce insulin resistance, prevent increasing insulin resistance, and you and I are very familiar with all of the problems associated with insulin resistance. And if anyone's curious about that and they don't know, a great book would be to read Dr. Ben Bickman's book, Why We Get Sick, because you'll quickly see insulin resistance and high insulin resistance is related to almost every chronic illness. But interestingly, carbohydrates, sugar, can take some of this into the brain. This is why you get a sugar craving. And this is one of the reasons why we feel a little bit better after we eat sugar. We got some serotonin production from it. The problem is it's short-lived and now we want to replace it. And so what does that mean? We crave more of it, which...
I was wondering how the cravings came in with serotonin. Right. Interesting.
Yeah. So which causes the double whammy. Now I'm eating more sugar, more highly processed carbohydrates. So I'm increasing my insulin resistance. And so insulin resistance actually is very associated with low serotonin levels. So I see this a lot in my work with clients. In my work is that they're pretty insulin resistant or maybe even diabetic. Mood, they struggle with mood, stress. And so they will say, I'm addicted to sugar. I'm addicted to carbs. I don't really care about eating other food, but I do eat some. But then later I eat a whole bunch of sugar, a whole bunch of carbs. And again, there's really a physiological understanding of this. It's not just a behavior. It's not just, you know, a learned pattern. The body is telling you to get that thing, which is going to help get some serotonin. And obviously, again, it backfires in all kinds of ways. So the reason I really wanted to share this today is for people to really address for themselves. If I see myself as someone who has poor sleep quality, struggle with my weight, carb cravings, mood challenges, there may be some natural ways I can address this. So for example, you know, I think you've shared before, eating a ketogenic diet for you helps with mood management and anxiety. Interestingly, 5-HTP was kind of a predecessor to the SSRI development. But as with some other things, 5-HTP, it can't be patented. So there are not millions of dollars to be made from it. So there's not more research put into it.
I've seen it. You can get it as a supplement, can't you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I tried it for a while.
So it's one of these examples where they figure out what's working about something, but because they can't make any money off of it, they then develop pharmaceuticals that they can then make money from. And I'm not exactly sure who I mean by they, but we all know who they are. So just to really think about that, and the research studies that have been done tend to show it is as effective as antidepressants on depression. Other studies, an example he shared in the podcast, they did a study of young women in Italy who were not trying to lose weight. That was not their goal. They had some take a placebo and some take the 5-HTP. Those that did the 5-HTP lost weight, reduced their carbohydrate intake. And you'll know these numbers, and people who follow us who talk macros will know this. Their overall carbohydrate intake in a day reduced by like 100 grams.
Wow.
Without them knowing that this was possibly going to help with that or help with weight loss or anything. So they were not purposely restricting.
That's just naturally what they wanted to eat or change to what they wanted to eat. Interesting.
Because it has a little bit of an appetite suppressant effect and again, reduces the craving for the carbohydrates.
Well, yes, I was going to say, if your brain's not telling you, you need to get more serotonin, and this is an easy way to get it, if it's not driving you to do that. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
And then they also talk some about the whole sleep and the circadian rhythm. I wasn't quite as interested in that part as far as like shift work and things, but this can help with that. They did talk some about melatonin. This also helps with the production of melatonin. I am someone who's a little leery of people supplementing melatonin consistently, but this is a doctor talking about it, so, you know, I won't argue with his opinion. They also then did talk about some other things that you and I have talked about and I have been talking about and posting about for years. Other ways to increase your serotonin production. Exercise is a really big one. Movement, a little bit of aerobic exercise, if you can get that in there too, will help. Getting sunlight. Probably people are maybe getting tired of me mentioning early morning sunlight, but it's so important in the production of these neurotransmitters. And then again, kind of reducing our exposure to blue light, artificial blue light, especially in the evening. So these, again, are other ways we can work on our serotonin levels. Dietary factors, you know, you and I already focus on the lower carbohydrate piece. Anti-inflammatory food is really important because the more inflammation in your system, the more difficulty your body's going to have in producing neurotransmitters and getting the transmitters where they need to be. They're not going to get to the brain if we have too much inflammation. And then again, the big one with the dietary thing would be reducing the highly processed carbohydrates, primarily sugar. Because as I said, there is a want for that, but it actually exacerbates the problem. So it's a really quick fix that then makes the problem worse. So if someone is interested after listening to this, one, I think they can do some of these lifestyle things that we've talked about in other episodes as well, but also maybe do a little of their own research on this supplement and see if it's something that they think might work for them. He does talk in this podcast episode about dosing. I don't want to go into that right now. Like I said, I don't want people walking away from this starting a regimen, but it's something you take before meals, like 20 minutes before a meal. And again, it helps with then how you manage that meal and doesn't have negative side effects. So compared to, you know, things that people, sleep medications people take, antidepressants people take, appetite control medications or weight loss medications people take that all have a whole host of problematic side effects, this is really one that doesn't. And it's a much more naturally occurring thing that our body needs. Again, it is the precursor to making the serotonin. So it's not like we're giving our body something added in that it doesn't need. We're just making sure it has enough of the base product to create what it needs.
Mm-hmm. And in doing so, if that encourages you, you know, subconsciously to make some lifestyle changes that are going to help with some of the root cause problems, then you're going to get better at producing it in the first place.
Absolutely.
And that will have, you know, a spiral going the right way rather than the wrong way. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can remember the spiral going the wrong way. And that was the roller coaster I was on all the time with my low mood. I basically self-medicated with carbs and sleep. Mm-hmm. I would overeat carbs to such an extent that, and then I would get sleepy and then I would, you know, spend time asleep because I didn't want to be awake. Mm-hmm. Rinse and repeat over and over again. But yes, I can attest to the fact that it has that addictive quality and you just keep going down that path, just keep going down that spiral without there ever being a fix. It doesn't help is the problem. I can remember reading something interesting about taking SSRIs and they were talking about building up a kind of a serotonin resistance. I can remember thinking of it a bit like insulin resistance, this sort of having so much serotonin flying around coming from an outside source, and it was just disrupting all the processes in your body. And you were sort of developing this, you would develop this resistance to it, and so would need more and more and more, mm-hmm. which would, again, it's just that endless cycle of, yeah, not producing it properly mm-hmm. in the first place.
Mm-hmm. I think the important thing about this episode, this topic that you just brought up, is as much as possible to help give our body the actual form of something it needs rather than interfering with its natural processes. So again, from the serotonin level, working first from the approach of making sure enough serotonin is being produced and getting to the brain. And I think, you know, Michael Murray, the doctor in this episode, is really clear about this too. It's not that naturopaths or functional medicine people won't ever prescribe pharmaceuticals. They just take a different approach first, most often. Try to get to a more natural root cause approach first. And if that's not working, then go to this next route. And so I think, unfortunately, in many cultures in the world nowadays, it is go to a quick fix that will treat the symptoms rather than let's get to the root of it. So obviously, everyone knows my bias in listening to this. And I'm not anti people taking medication. Everyone gets to make their own choice. I just want to make sure people know there are other ways that may be as effective without the side effects that they may experience.
Yeah, I think that's so often the case with medications like that. It's like they come in right at the end of the journey and try and fix it, but miss the bulk of that journey where you could have actually done something more effectively about it.
Absolutely.
You know, you need to get right back in at the beginning and try and make sure that where you're starting that journey, you're starting off in a solid way so that by the time you get to the end where these problems are occurring, you've actually got a decent foundation to build on. And that's the difference, isn't it? Instead of just trying to deal with the fact that your brain's not getting enough serotonin, well, yeah, let's go back. Let's go back to the factory. Let's go right back to the beginning of the process and try and enable it to be able to ramp up production again. And then you won't need any of that stuff at the other end. It's just a waste of time.
I was going to say, and in that example, it's about addressing a supply issue rather than let's rework our machinery and re-rig it to make it do something different. No, let's make sure the supply is adequate first. Absolutely.
Yes, which also explains why it has such a low success rate, to be honest.
Absolutely. You know,
we've spoken about this in previous episodes, but it's really not the big fix it was sold to be.
Absolutely. But there always will be a new fix because that gives them an opportunity to make a new medication with a new patent that is very expensive for the first few years. So I hope that there are some information in here today that will give people some motivation to consider this, if this is an option for them or something that they would like to explore.
Yes, that's very interesting. And like you were saying, if people are interested in taking this supplement, the best thing to do would be to go and listen to the original podcast where he does talk a bit more about dosing and things like that, maybe even, you know, where best to get hold of it. But that's where you need to go, like you said, right at the beginning, and do a bit more of your own research on the subject.
Maybe even read his book.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, if this is a topic that you're really interested in, get yourself well-versed in it.
But it does sound very interesting.
But hopefully this is just a good intro.
Perfect.
Awesome.
Well, I hope you have a very wonderful week. I'll see you next time.
All right. Take good care, everybody. Bye, Daisy.
Bye.